So last night at the chapel service, when service was done, you know, I stand in the back and I shake hands, and one church member said, that sermon got good at the end. And so I shared that at the chapel service at 8, and somebody said, yep, big finish. So I'm going to invite you to stay with me till I get to that end, and I get to that point. We had a kind of a large attendance at first service, and I was so pleased that my wife, who now is in the choir, she's taking the week off because she had her small group from our last church. The women came and sat about the third row here, and four of those women, and each of those women had sons that I was able to chaperone short-term mission trips with, much like our Appalachia service project that we have here at our church. And it was fun to watch those boys grow. But on those mission trips, when it came to nighttime, you have all the boys, all the high school boys, and you put them all over here, and then you try and find a place in the church that is as far away from that, and you put all the teenage girls over there. And when it was time for lights out, I had this tradition that I would tell the guys a fable or a riddle or some kind of parable, and then I would listen for them to share with me, you know, what they heard, what their takeaways were. And then in the morning when we woke up, I told them what I was hoping they would take away from that. But oftentimes their answers were better because it was applicable for their lives as teenagers in this world right now. But one of the fables or parables I told them was about three crows. These three crows, and there was a great drought that came upon the land, and tumbleweeds and dust storms, and it was dire, and they all felt like they were on the verge of death because they had no water. Crows need water to live. Human beings need water to live. And so the first crow said, there's nothing I can do, and so he just laid there until he perished, until he died. The second crow said, I got to do something. And so the crow took flight, battling the winds, and he saw a vase, a glass vase that had water in it. And so the crow landed, but when the crow tried to get its beak inside the vase, it was too deep, and the crow couldn't get it. And so the crow just knocked the vase down and tried to lap up as much, I don't know, did crows lap up? The crow tried to drink as much of the water as it could before it evaporated or was absorbed into the ground, and life was sustained only for a little while until that crow too perished. The third crow, like the second, took flight, wanting to live, and saw an identical vase, glass vase with water in it. The crow landed, and that crow too tried to get its beak in there but couldn't. And the crow kind of looked to the skies and said, live or die. And then a thought came upon this crow. And even though the crow had almost no energy left, the crow started the hard work of picking up a pebble at a time with its beak and dropping it into the vase. With every last ounce of its energy, it took these pebbles and dropped them into the vase until the water level was high enough that crow could drink and have life sustained until the day that the heavens did open up, and life-giving water came from the sky. And then I was silent and listened to what the young men were going to say. What do you say? You know, one crow refused to take flight. The second crow took the easy way, going for instant gratification, which ultimately led to death. The third crow, though, was willing to do the hard things, to use this gift of intellect and reason and to do the hard things in order to sustain life. Which crow do you want to be? Well, of course, we want to be the crow that did the hard things, that had life sustained. But my question to you is, how often and how earnestly are you really striving after the living water that is there for us? Our sermon series has only three sermons left before we begin our Advent sermon series. And the Advent sermon series this year is based on Silent Night, Holy Night, the 200th anniversary of the writing of that classic Christmas hymn. And each week we're going to take scripture and go stanza by stanza and do that. On the 23rd, we put a call out to have an acoustic guitar choir. even if you haven't played for years or you've never started, all you have to do is learn three chords, A, E, and D. There's sheet music in the on the ledge back there. Hope to have a lot of guitars. But we're in the Sermon on the Mount, and if we live our lives by this foundational teaching, we're going to do well. And so last week's sermon ended with those verses that we call the Golden Rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But I shared with you that Jesus didn't invent this. No, it had been around for years and years and years before Jesus in other religions in the world, but they all put it in a negative sense. Don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want them to do to you. And here comes Jesus making it far more demanding, making it proactive. Jesus is saying, go and do for everyone what you know is right, what you would want everyone to do for you. And that wasn't the only teaching of Jesus that was hard. It's hard to live the way Jesus lived, to live by the precepts that he taught. And we know that by the time John's Gospel is written, there was this group of people who were listening to what Jesus was saying, and they were saying, this is impossible. John chapter 6, verses 60 and then 66 through 69 say this, when many of his disciples heard it, that is, this teaching, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So he said to the 12, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. What they were saying is, yes, we're in for the hard way. We're willing to go with you. We're willing to lay down our lives to live the kind of life that you live, the kind of life that you are teaching us to live, the kind of life that God wants all of God's children to live, to do hard things. And so our text for focus today, only two verses, talks about this hard way, this narrow way. And so I'm in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. If you want to open up your pew Bibles, you can find it there in the New Testament. And so let's hear these words as Jesus gives us this difficult teaching. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. Other translations say there are many who choose it. And we're going to talk about choice today. Verse 14 says, for the gate is narrow, and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases these two verses in the Message. He says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, the way to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Vigorous and requires total attention. So there is this narrow gate, and Jesus says very few people find it. And so I want to ask the question, why? Why is it that so few people find it? It's not hidden. It's contained right here in the Scriptures. Why? Now, Jesus had already watched some people fall away because it was too hard, but we kind of give them a break. Jesus was so radically different than anything faithful Jews thought a Messiah was going to be. His teaching was so new, so radical, so different that they had a hard time with it. But what's our excuse? Why is it that so few people find it? It is not hidden. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to show us the way. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has come to be our guide, to be our counselor, to illumine the way for us. Why is it that so few people stay on this path all the way to the narrow gate? And the answer is simple. Because it's hard. It's hard. It is difficult to live the life that Jesus calls us to live. And by our nature, we are people who always seek the path of least resistance. We are people who live by instant gratification. We are people who want to focus on our own needs instead of seeing the other people the way God sees other people. It is hard. William Barclay, the great Scottish theologian, said it's the difference between hard and easy, long and short, disciplined or undisciplined, thoughtful or thoughtless. All we like sheep have a tendency to go astray. But what I want you to know is what Jesus is not saying about this text. Jesus is not talking about Jews or outsiders to these other religions. A lot of pastors have used these two scriptures, these two verses, to paint a picture of a very exclusive God. No, Jesus is talking to people who are already on the path. People who have said yes at some point in their life and then for whatever reason have gone astray. One New Testament theologian, a scholar, a professor, actually went to seminary with my father-in-law, and he has the most unfortunate name ever for a seminary professor. His name is Eugene Boring. Professor Boring. You know, who's your professor? Professor Boring taught me this week, but listen to what Eugene Boring says about this. The Christian life is thought of not in static terms, as a condition or a once-for-all decision, but as a path or a road of righteousness, living between the initial call of the disciple and the final goal of salvation. What he is saying is that there are many who start on the path, but only few take it all the way. And so Jesus isn't talking about who's going to get in or who's not going to get in. What Jesus is telling us here in these two verses is that every single day we need to make a decision. Every single day, we need to rededicate ourselves to being a disciple of this Jesus Christ, who we call Lord and Savior. And so this passage is about the fact that God has given us, through this gift of free will, the ability to make a choice. There are two ways. One leads to life, one leads to death. Which is it going to be for you? Life, blessings, or curse and destruction? The good news is we get to choose. The important news is we must choose. The obvious news is we've all already made a choice and need to make it each and every day. Let's think about choices. You know, what a gift that God has given us choices. Each and every one of us make choices every day. Some of these choices are small choices. Some of these choices are big choices. What do I mean by small choices? This morning, I made the choice to have hard-boiled eggs and cashews for breakfast. That's a small choice. I chose to put on a fantastic tie. Small choice. Later tonight, I'm going to choose what I want on my pizza, having made the choice to watch the Packer game. But there are big choices. Big choices. Should I go into the service? Should I go into the workforce? Should I go to college? Those are all going to shape the directions of our lives. If I go to college, what am I going to study? What path am I going to take professionally? Big choice. A big choice. Who am I going to partner with in life in a covenant relationship till death do us part? That's a big choice. It changes our life. Big choices. Is it time for me to uproot my family, to follow this career path in a different direction, to take this leap of faith? That's a big decision. Maybe some of you have had to make the big decision that you finally come to the point and say, I guess the most merciful thing to do is to pray to God as I make the decision to pull life support from my mother or my father, or my spouse of so many years. That those are all big choices. But that's not the biggest choice. That's not the biggest choice. God's mouthpiece, Jeremiah, was speaking to God's people in Jeremiah 21:8 and said, "Thus says the Lord, see, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death." And years before the prophet Jeremiah was on the scene, God was giving the law to Moses, and God spoke, saying in Deuteronomy 30:19, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make." And then listen to this last sentence. It is God saying, "Oh, that you would choose life. God wants us to choose life. God wants us to choose the hard way. God wants us to travel the road less traveled. We have all been given this free will. It's God's gift to us. And because of this, we get to choose. We get to choose the path that we're going to follow. And scriptures in Old and New Testament say so much about this choice. So much about this choice. The path of righteousness, there is life. The other path is death. But I tell you that the qualities of destruction or the qualities of blessing, the qualities of heaven and the qualities of hell aren't reserved for only after we breathe our last breath and are born into eternity. No, the qualities of heaven can start to be experienced in an abundant life that begins not with our death, but with our spiritual birth. The choice we make to say, yes, you are my God and I am your child. But it's true with the qualities of hell here on earth. Our choices are taking the easy road, the road of least resistance, the road of instant gratification can lead us into situations that truly do feel like hell right here on earth. And many of you have experienced this. Many of you have experienced this. The world can be a dark place, friends, if we choose to reject the light of the world. I'm going to say that one more time. The world can be a dark place when we reject the light of the world. Proverbial wisdom in Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of righteousness is like the bright morning light, growing brighter and brighter until full day." And friends, we know that we are called to shine bright and brighter as we continue on this path. We need to begin each day with making this recommitment to the road less traveled. And if we're going to do it, we're going to need to pray for strength. I promise you, this way is difficult, so don't try and carry a whole lot of extra baggage. Let it go. And so it takes faith and discipline to keep from backsliding, to keep from falling by the wayside. And maybe some of you have experienced it. Maybe some of you have had incredible spiritual highs. And man, it feels great. God is so near to you. And then many of you have, in maybe just a month's time, had this experience of the void of God. God, why is it so difficult to seek after you? I see it happen with young people. You know, what a blessing it is to be here in the sanctuary when our young people come storming back in from the Appalachia Service Project, this week-long mission, Christian immersion, and they are on fire. You can just see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their testimonies. These are people who are high-fiving and hugging each other and knowing that they had done good. And yet, it starts to fade. It starts to fade. I know it happens because it happened to me when I was a teenager, to come back from some kind of a Christian retreat, all on fire, and then just a couple of days back at school with my friends, it starts to slide away. Friends, I tell you, it even happens as a senior pastor. There are some seasons of my life, some experiences I have, where it is so easy to be on this road, even though it's a hard road. And yet there are other times where things aren't as easy, and it's then that I need to rely on my spiritual disciplines in order to be faithful and to get me through. Some of us claim to have faith, but it's lukewarm at best. And the Bible has some challenging things to say about lukewarm faith. Or maybe for some of us, life is so awesome right now that we buy into the lie that we're not dependent upon anything other than our own wit and intellect and good looks, that I have no need for God. Other people slide because of hypocrisy that they see, and other people slide because of tragedy. Because of tragedy. There was a 27-year-old Navy veteran that went to a musical concert in Las Vegas, a big concert, and was in that crowd when the gunman shot through his window in the hotel and just started spraying the crowd with shots. The highest death total of any mass shooting in our country's history. And yet that veteran made it through. Made it through. And then just this week went to another concert in Thousand Oaks, California. where another veteran came in and started spraying bullets, pausing only long enough to post on social media what was going on, and spraying again. And this time, the 27-year-old who had been in Las Vegas didn't make it. He died. I know many of you saw the interview on the news with his mother. With his mother. And this is what she said. She said, "I don't want prayers. I don't want thoughts. I want gun control. I hope to God nobody else sends me any more prayers. I want gun control, no more guns." She was done with God. And so yesterday, I was sitting in the break room with two of the members of our United Methodist Women who were doing their chore for the annual bazaar. And we were talking about this. Two women that have a deep faith, and who walk the walk, who live out their faith. And they were saying, they allowed themselves to be pretty vulnerable in my eyes. And the question that they were wrestling was, if that had been my child, if that had been my grandchild, would my faith sustain me through? And they came to the conclusion that they really hope so, and they think it would, and knowing their faith, I'm positive that it would. But if that were to happen to all the parents that lost a child in that way, if they're going to stay to their faith, their way is going to be hard, and the gate is going to be very, very narrow. Very, very narrow. And so, friends, it's before us. That's some pretty bad news, but are you ready for some good news? Ready for good news? Even when the way is hard and we start to slide away, we have a God that is going to pursue us. Because our God wants us to go on this hard way to the narrow gate. God wants us. And if we go away, God's never going to give up on us. God is never going to give up on the mother of that 27-year-old who died in California this week. No, God is going to continue to pursue her, to try and hound her, to try and win her heart with love and grace. I have shared my favorite verse, my life verse, this verse that has gone with me everywhere from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21, that says, "If you leave God's paths and if you go astray, you're going to hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" And each and every one of us starts to go astray, and God is constantly trying to bring us back. Jesus Christ, when describing himself, told a story about this shepherd that had one sheep that got lost, and the shepherd left the 99 who had safety in their numbers and went out to try and find that one and to bring it back. And anytime one is brought back, there is great celebration. That's our God. Our God who gives us the choice. Yes, choose life or choose death. Choose blessing or choose curses. But God is constantly going to try and help us to stay on the short and narrow. And so every day we're at a crossroads. Every day we need to put our gift of free will to the test. And so friends, choose the hard way, not the easy way, knowing that when we do, we can claim that promise that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Choose the long way, not the short way, knowing that we have this spiritual GPS growth through study and prayer. Choose the thoughtful way, not the thoughtless way, knowing that God has equipped us with this ability to have reason, to think things through, to make intelligent decisions. And choose the disciplined way, not the undisciplined way, knowing that God rewards faithfulness. So which is it going to be for you? Choose this day at a pivotal point in the history of God's people. God's anointed leader stood and spoke to the people and said, "Choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Choose wisely. Choose the road less traveled.